accelerating job growth.
Healthcare costs.
Iraq and Afghanistan.
Uranium enrichment.
Taxpayer costs.
Ask ourselves the hard questions.
Okay, it's time to check on the agenda for this week as we head into Christmas time. We've got Chris Hayes, Washington editor for The Nation, joining us, and also Jill McGivering, Asia editor for our partners, the BBC. Chris, I want to start in Washington and on the health care debate. The Senate has cleared its first procedural hurdle, and it looks like this health care deal is headed towards final passage. So on the agenda seems to be dealing with the House. And I just want to have you listen to Senator Ben Nelson. He's the one who struck the deal that got this health care bill to 60 votes. But he's forecasting how this is going to go when it gets to Nancy Pelosi. Listen to Nelson.
Let me be clear. This cloture vote is based on a full understanding that there will be a limited conference between the Senate and House. If there are material changes in that conference report different from this bill that adversely affect the agreement, I reserve the right to vote against the next cloture vote, and I will vote against it if that is the case.
Chris Hayes of The Nation, that sounds like Senate talk for my way or the highway.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's a lot of hostage takers in the upper house right now.
Right.
Ben Nelson being one of them. And, I've talked to some staff members in the House, and actually some members who are incredibly frustrated with the fact that the Senate, they perceive the Senate as bullying them. And for a while, they were talking about this, what was called a ping pong procedure. So what would happen is the House would actually pass an identical version of the bill the Senate passed so that you wouldn't even have to go to conference. But basically, that was nixed within the caucus. They are going to go to conference. And again, it's going to be a little bit of a game of chicken. I mean, the question is, how much can Nancy Pelosi extract in those negotiations to kind of bend but not break what's on the table? Because it is going to be very difficult when it comes out of conference for Nelson then to turn around and to filibuster.
Do you think the liberals in the House will, in the end, be forced to accept no public option? They've made some very strong statements.
You know, it's a sort of a hard thing to game out. I mean, the way this whole thing has gone has been at once, you know, from day to day, it's surprising, but in the long term has looked basically like a lot of what the compromise hashed out in kind of health care policy wonk circles was about 3 or 4 years ago. So, I wouldn't want to put a number on it, but I do think that people should not underestimate Nancy Pelosi, who has proven herself to be a very effective and shrewd political operator.
One of the best whips the House has seen in recent memory. All right, so that's the healthcare is Congress's deal right now. Let's go over to the White House's deal right now, which is Guantanamo Bay, and trying to find a way to get Gitmo closed, which the president said months ago that was his stated policy. So 12 detainees from Guantanamo Bay were repatriated over the weekend, right? Half were sent to Yemen and the rest to Afghanistan and the Somalia region. Can we expect more of this to happen before, I guess, the rest of the Guantanamo detainees will be sent to Illinois for trial, or some of them for trial?
Yeah, so it looks like, I mean, we know that they've sort of accelerated negotiations. They've been working extremely hard to transfer as many of these detainees as they can. I mean, we even have several Chinese Uyghurs swimming around the Caribbean right now because of it.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be very hard for them to make the one-year deadline that they sort of announced when the president took office. But things now at least are moving in a vector that you can see them moving towards the outcome that they want to achieve.
All right, let me turn to Jill McGivering from our partner, the BBC, and we want to talk about Pakistan. Jill, U.S. officials have been traveling back and forth to Pakistan, but it doesn't appear that we're still getting much cooperation from the Pakistanis on what the White House and the military want. I think one of the key questions here is, can we get the Pakistani intelligence services, the ISI, on our side as we try to fight al-Qaeda and Taliban militias in the mountainous regions of Pakistan? Am I right? Is that what's on the agenda?
Absolutely. I think there are completely different perceptions at the moment on the two sides. And you're right. It seems to be growing frustration amongst U.S. officials who are taking their message to Islamabad, trying to get across to Pakistani officials. Look, it's all very well us trying to do a surge to try to do what we can in Afghanistan, but it's not going to be very effective. The whole thing's going to be undermined if the people that we're after just cross the border and hide out and wait there in Pakistan in the tribal areas. We need your cooperation to chase them on that side. But Pakistan Pakistan sees it very differently. They see this as not really their problem. They're very anxious about what's happening in Afghanistan. They feel problems are being stirred up that are going to cause long-term insecurity within Pakistan. But they're also very cautious about alienating those powerful clans along the border. Traditionally, they've often made deals with them. They've been an important buffer against those coming in from Afghanistan. And as India's influence in Afghanistan increases, some of those in Pakistan are saying, hang on there, we're going to need allies. We don't want to alienate them. We don't want to be seen to be too close to the United States.
Well, I want to ask you about that, because for their own domestic political purposes, which are important, the Pakistani government still seems to think that appearing to strongly resist the United States and our policies is better for them domestically.
Absolutely. And it does, fair enough, in the sense that President Zardari is in a very difficult position. If you chat to most people in Pakistan, the message I hear from them is, we don't really trust the Americans. We think that they're fair-weather friends. They're here just for a while. They're pursuing their own interests. They're drawing us into this growing conflict. Then they're going to pull out and go home, and we're going to be left with it. So they're very anxious about the impact, the long-term problems that are going to be set up for Pakistan to deal with. And certainly some people are saying, look, we want a government in Islamabad that sticks up for Pakistan's interests, and sometimes that means saying no to the Americans.
All right.
So that puts them in a really tough position.
It does. Jill McGivering from our partner, the BBC, thanks for bringing us up to speed as U.S. officials try to work on Pakistan and getting the government and the intelligence services more on our side. Chris Hayes from The Nation, let me come back to you. Christmas time is coming up. The Obamas are vacationing where else? In Hawaii, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think if you were Barack Obama, you'd want to get about as far away from Washington as you could as
and
well.
And take the press corps with you as you go.
That's exactly right. So I think that it's a pretty well-earned vacation at this point.
All right. The president's heading to the beach with his family. Chris Hayes, Washington editor for The Nation, and Jill McGivering from our partner, the BBC, joining us for the agenda. Coming up, we talk about family life every Monday. And as the family gathers for the holidays, how do you build religious bridges? What if your kids are more or less religious than you are? How does that work across the Christmas tree? That's coming up.